This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, an hour-length dramatization of Robert Penn Warren's powerful novel of corruption, At Heaven's Gate, radio adaptation by Clarice A. Ross of NBC. At intermission, a recorded commentary on the writings of Robert Penn Warren by Granville Hicks, distinguished author of The Great Tradition, and John Reed, The Making of a Revolutionary. Here then, the NBC Theater version of At Heaven's Gate. It was the brilliant, high, windless sky of early autumn. Blue, drenched in sunlight as though treated with a wash which was transparent but full of minute gold flecks. The sky stared down on the southern landscape, on the rich, beautiful house. And outside, near the paddock fence, on a brother and sister who belonged in that house, and on a thin young man who did not.
As I see it, Ham, anyone who enjoys riding a horse merely flatters his own ego by controlling a brooch, you see? But it's a very cheap and easy way to achieve the end.
You think it's so easy, Slim? How long do you think you'd stick on Starlight?
I wouldn't stick on a minute.
Not even half a minute. Starlight would kill you.
I think Slim's right. People like to ride a horse because they like to feel big. Especially when they can't do anything else, Mr. Ham Murdoch.
Well, you ride pretty well, dear sister.
Oh, I imagine anyone could become fairly proficient with a little practice.
Is that so? Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Why, Sue?
Be quiet. I'm tired of the whole discussion.
Well, you can quit squinting at the sky. You'll see the plane, all right.
Who says I'm trying to see the plane?
I heard the old man say Jerry was coming in on the afternoon plane. Anse has gone in with the coupe to meet him.
Who's Jerry?
Jerry Calhoun. Ask Sue. Sue can tell you who Jerry is, all right. Hey, Sue.
Sue, where are you going?
Come on in, Sue. Have a seat.
Father.
Sit down.
Is Jerry coming out here?
Why, yes. I sent Anse to meet the plane and bring him out immediately. Well, that boy has done a wonderful job for me in New York. He'll go far.
I hope he stays there.
Well, I thought you and Jerry got along pretty well.
Oh, Jerry gets along with everybody, doesn't he? Simply everybody.
Yeah, so he does. It's an asset in business. Oh, I think I hear the car coming now.
Will he be here for dinner?
I imagine so. I suggest it. Governor Milam and Private Pawson are coming out afterwards. Don't bother to close the door, Sue.
Slim! Slim, come here! I want you to take me into town for dinner.
Yes, Governor. Jerry's just back from New York. Did a nice little piece of business up there for me. Those Atlas Iron Securities. He's a fine lad.
Thanks, Mr. Murdoch.
Still the same old bullseye Calhoun, eh, Jerry? Many's the time I watched you on the football field a few years back. State was mighty proud of you. And, Pawson, did you ever see Jerry play?
Never saw a game in my life till I come down here, Governor. There's no football up in the mountains.
Well, just as well. I reckon it wasn't football you needed, Private Pawson, the day you potted those 22 Germans.
Mr. Murdoch, it was luck I needed that morning.
Bogan.
Well, Private, luck never comes to the man who isn't ready for it.
Bogan. Bogan.
Murdoch, when Major's talking to you.
Yes, Father, what is it?
I told him that blessed Quinn.
Yes, Father.
I told him that lying black-eyed Judge Goodpasture was at the courthouse at Essex, Bogan. Remember? And he said, I told him.
Anse, will you take Major Murdoch up to bed? Father, you go along with Anse.
I told him.
Poor old man, he sure is.
It's a likely-looking colored boy you got, Bogan, that Anse.
Yes, he's smart. He studies, too. I've promised him a hitch up at Columbia University, maybe next year.
University? Gonna spoil a good house boy. Yeah, likely looking, though.
Another drink, Governor?
No, thanks, not yet.
Governor, I've been thinking. I've got a little tract of land over in the mountains.
Yes?
Well, the Massey Mountain Lumber Company made me an offer for it. But, well, I had a sort of affection for the place, so I didn't sell. Beautiful spot. I've been thinking of turning it over to the state for a park.
Well, that's handsome, Bogan. Very handsome.
There's only one small stipulation.
Mm-hmm.
That the preserve be named for my father. A sort of memorial to him, you know. I want to call it the Major Lemuel Murdoch Preserve.
Turn off here, Sue.
What for?
Well, the crossing's off to the right. You know, it's the only way to get across the wash.
Not for me, Jerry. I know another way.
Sue! You can't jump it! You can't! You'll be killed! Turn off, you little fool!
It won't bust me!
Sue! Sue! Try that little...
Here I am!
Who are you? Listen, you little fool!
Let go of me! Let go of me!
I won't! As long as you live, don't you ever...
Are you trying to break your neck?
Do you care?
Did you hear me? Never again.
Do you care?
Sue, do you have to ask that?
Jerry, love me. Love me.
Oh, I do. You know I do.
Oh, love me, Jerry. You've got to.
Sue, when I came back from New York, why wouldn't you talk to me? Why wouldn't you see me?
Because Father was so proud of you.
What?
He was so proud. Just one of Father's young men. There's a promising young executive of Myers and Murdoch. Just the man Father would pick out for me.
Sue, that isn't fair.
I won't be bullied. Not by him or by you.
Now, look here.
Darling, just because he made me, he thinks he owns me. He makes something and then he sits back and looks at it. Like he says he's going to send Ants to Columbia. But does he? No. He keeps him here so he can sit back and look at him. If I were Ants, I'd walk out of that house and cut somebody up with a razor.
But you're not Ants, you're Sue. So you try to kill yourself putting a horse across that wash.
Because it was me doing it, me, not my father. Oh, to the devil with him. And to you too, Jerry Calhoun, if you don't keep your mouth shut. But I love you. And if I were you, I'd kiss me, quick. You're such a mess sometimes. But I'm going to marry you. Do you know that? I'm going to marry you because I want you. And I don't mind telling you. That's why.
Jerry. Well, Jerry. Come on over here, son. Governor Milam wants to drink your health.
Well, congratulations, Jerry. When's the big event going to be?
Oh, thanks, Governor. A few months, I guess. Early in February.
You've got a fine girl, that's Sue. And Bogan, I think you're getting a fine son-in-law.
Oh, I'm putting my blue chips on Jerry, Governor.
Say, Jerry, Bogan tells me you've been up having a look around Massey Mountain. What do you think about the situation up there?
Well, you know, Governor, most of the men are back at work. I'd say things are looking better.
How about those labor agitators?
Yeah, a fellow named Sweetwater causing some trouble.
Sweetwater, yes. I heard something about him.
Well, we'll take care of him soon enough.
Yeah. It's just this slump in business. As soon as things pick up, everything will straighten out. Isn't that right, Jerry?
Well, Governor, with plenty of financing, this section can expand indefinitely.
Financing, yes. Jerry, there's a little something I'd like to talk to you about.
This is where I leave you, gentlemen. Jerry, I think you're going to have something besides your engagement to be congratulated on. See you later.
Yes, sir? What is it?
Jerry, you're absolutely right about the expansion in this section. We must grasp our own opportunities. Make our opportunities if necessary. Am I right?
I reckon so.
Right. And that's why some of us feel that the moment is right for the launching of the Southern Fidelity Bank to help in that expansion. And, Jerry, we want you as vice president in charge of securities.
Well, that's quite an offer.
Well, I told you I was putting my blue chips on you. Private Porsom has agreed to become president of the bank.
Private Porsom?
Why, yes.
Well, excuse me for saying this, but do you think he's a financier?
Jerry, the private has served his country on the battlefield. He has great prestige, sterling qualities. He's the very man. And Mr. Blake, you know Blake in our firm?
Oh, certainly.
Blake will be the Southern Fidelity's chief accountant. I think we'll have quite an organization. let's have a drink on it, shall we?
You going to take the job, Duckford?
Me? Sure, I'm going to take the job. Why not?
That's true, Ball, the whole idea. Like I said to Private Porsom. Private, I said, remember, this ain't the army. If you don't obey an order, they can't shoot you. All they can do is fire you. And he asked me what I meant.
Well, what did you mean?
Why, Jerry, I didn't mean a thing. You know me, Blake.
Duckfoot, what did you mean?
I mean the private's got a nice wad of dough that Bogan Murdoch made for him out of the private's old neighbors and cousins back in Massey Mountain. And now Murdoch makes him a bank president. And Murdoch's no philanthropist.
Now, look here.
Sure, Jerry, sure. Your father-in-law-to-be is an honest man. The private is an honest man. I'm an honest man. You're an honest man. Merely indicating a certain logic in the affairs of men.
Now, look here.
Oh, let's drop the subject. I'm taking the job. Let's just call it that Bogan Murdoch wants a vice president of a bank for his son-in-law. And you just forget I said a word.
Oh, aren't you just so warm, Danson? Sue, one of you and Jerry took this one out with Fred and me.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired, too.
You better be twins for a little while, Jerry. Getting married and a new bank opening all at once. Say, that's quite a venture, that Southern Fidelity, isn't it?
Well, we think it can't fail, Fred. There's room for plenty of expansion in this state, and we've got to make our own opportunities.
Yeah.
What did you say, Jerry?
Well, I said, darling, that there's room for...
Yes, I heard you. You sounded just like Father. Oh, I think it's all just thrilling.
Sue, I was noticing in the paper how they're going to name that new state park up in the mountains after your granddaddy. The Major Lemuel Murdoch Preserve. I think that's mighty nice.
Yes, isn't it? Think of that, Sue. Why, you must be thrilled to death.
I am. I'm thrilled to death.
And your grandfather? I'll bet he's thrilled.
Oh, he's thrilled to death.
Yes, sir. It must mean something to a man. You know, when he's old and well, you know when he's
yes,
old.
Yes, I know. When you've shot somebody and been tried for murder, and then gotten a scandal and go near crazy, and your son gets rich, and then people name a park after you.
Oh.
It must be thrilling.
Now, look here, Sue.
Oh, Sue, you know Fred didn't mean it.
In my opinion, that's exactly what Fred ought to mean. In my opinion, that's what makes it important. Major Murdoch did shoot a man, but he shot to protect his good name. It was a question of his honor. Major Murdoch was trying to protect his honor. Nowadays, we just forget about things like honor and integrity.
I wonder what happened to Sue.
What?
Sue? Sue, didn't you see her leave? She's clear over to the door.
Shall I go after her, Jerry?
No, of course not. She'll be right back.
Oh, sure she will. She'll be right back.
Come on, Freddy. Let's go. Hello, Slim. Slim, this is Sue. Can you meet me right away? Well, I just walked out on Jerry. Yes, for good. What? What did you say? Yes, I suppose so. It was only a matter of time.
Well, living in the lap of luxury, aren't you, Sue?
Ham, how did you get here?
Sue, what made you do it?
Do what?
Do what? Walking out of the house. Walking out on Jerry.
I walked out of the house because I wanted to.
And Jerry?
Listen, Ham. I won't let Father run me. Like he runs you and Mother and everybody. And he runs Jerry, and Jerry's getting just like him. And he wants Jerry to run me because he can't. It'd be the same thing all over again.
Now, look here. Have you gone crazy? This riverfront hole? could have at least found some place respectable to live in.
I'll live where I please. Then you can get right out.
Wait a minute. I've got a letter for you.
Get out, messenger boy.
Read it. Maybe you'll want me to take back an answer.
He says he's unhappy because I left.
Gee, what a dump.
He says I'll have to work out my own destiny.
Don't be such a dope. Come on home.
He says... Look, he says he's going to deposit $200 a month for me in the Southern Fidelity. I won't touch it. Not a penny. And you can tell him so. Not a penny.
Well, it's your business, dear sister.
Ham, he signed it, your darky. He didn't have to do that. Why'd he do that?
Darky. I remember when you used to call Father that.
Oh, get out. Tell him I won't touch his money, not a penny. Darky. He was Darky. A long time ago.
Hey, Jerry. You seen Murdoch today? He's looking for you.
Why, no, Doc, but I haven't.
You look like you didn't want it. What's cooking?
Well, nothing I know of.
No? Well, there better be. That strike over on Massey Mountain isn't doing Bogan any good. That fellow Sweetwater is raising the devil.
Oh, that.
Seen today's papers?
No.
Governor Milam's gone and sent Private Porson up to the mountain to talk to the home folks.
Well, it's his territory.
Sure, and the great war hero. Just the boy to tell those poor apes down the river and make them believe it's for their own good.
Hey, turn it off. Here comes Murdoch.
Here indeed. Believe me, the old boy's got something simmering.
See you later, Jerry boy.
Hello, Jerry. I was looking for you this morning. Duckfoot told me.
Was it about Sue?
My boy, I wish you every good thing in the world, whatever has passed between you and Sue. All I can do is wish you the best of luck.
I tell you, I don't know what happened. I tell you, I don't know.
Patience, Jerry, patience. All I wanted was to give you this.
342 Boland Street, apartment 42.
Yes, she's staying there. Ham went to see her.
Yes.
I simply thought you might want to know the address.
Thanks.
Well, I guess I'll be going. Best luck, my boy.
Sue.
Jerry. Jerry.
Sue. Oh, darling.
Jerry, hold me.
Yes, darling.
Oh, Jerry. Jerry, do you love me?
Yes. Yes.
Then let's go away. Let's get away from here.
Sure, darling. Sure. Sure, we're going away. We're going to Havana. On our honeymoon, remember?
No, I mean really away. Someplace where you can get a job.
But I've got a job.
Oh, no. Darling, don't you see? We've got to go away. We've got to.
All right, now, all right.
It isn't. Jerry, let go of me.
I won't.
I know something.
So do I. I know I'm crazy about you.
I know something, Jerry Calhoun. All of a sudden, I know something. You saw my father, didn't you?
Oh, sure, I saw him. I see him nearly every day.
You know what I mean.
Well, how do I know what you mean? I know I saw him. I tell you, I see him nearly
my
every...
My father sent you here.
What?
My father sent you here. I know he did. And don't tell me any different. That's why you came.
I tell you, he didn't send me. Nobody sent me. I got your address from Ham. Ham had your address. You know it.
It's a lie, Jerry Calhoun. It's a lie. It's a lie.
It's not a lie. I tell you, nobody sent me. That's no lie.
It's all a lie. All of it. Everything's a lie. And he made you come. He made you, Jerry. And I can't stand it.
Who?
I was a fool. I was a fool. I ought to have known right away. Oh, it's horrible. I feel as if he were sitting right there in that chair looking at us. And I won't let him sit there and look at me. And you can get out. Get out, Jerry Calhoun, and don't you ever come back.
Ouch. Hey, Slim.
Yes?
Put the light out, will you? It's in my eyes.
Sorry?
That's better. What time is it?
It's late.
I was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Where's everybody?
Everybody's gone. They were all plastered. Should I get you some ice water?
Oh, no.
Drink?
Later. Slim, you know, your friends are a funny combination.
Yeah, aren't they? Malloy, the reporter, Sweetwater, the labor organizer, poor little Fry with his half-baked sociological ideas. Well, I find them an interesting study. As a group, you know, they're simply a concept of mine.
Slim, do you have to turn everything into a concept?
Naturally, my darling. That's the mark of a true intellectual.
Oh, Slim, you make me sick sometimes. What am I doing here? What's a true intellectual doing having a girl?
Well, as a matter of fact, that's what one of my most enjoyable experiences was with a girl who had had any number of other men. She used to tell me about them, how they behaved. I found that the keenest sort of intellectual enjoyment.
Oh, I won't listen to you. Make me a drink.
Sure.
You know, they all try to make love to me.
Who?
Your friends. All but Sweetwater. He doesn't. He just sits and looks at me. But the others...
But it doesn't do them any good, does it, sir?
No, it doesn't. I'm not like that other girl you had. Never mind the drink. I'll go to sleep for a while.
All right.
And then I'll fix your breakfast.
Who never was a fry dog?
Hey, Fry, shut up, will you?
Leave me alone, Malloy. Slim, make him leave me alone.
He'll quiet down, Malloy. Teddy, why don't you come out in the kitchen? Mm-hmm. I'll make you another drink, huh?
Leave him here. He's loaded already. And we're running out of liquor. Oh, but when we do, little Susie will put up 1,000 and stake us all to champagne.
Lay off, Homer Lloyd.
Oh, thanks, Sweetwater.
What'd I say wrong? Everybody knows that boy Murdoch has bought and sold this state 40 times already.
Yeah, very bad thing. So sociologically.
Will somebody turn off this drunken jerk?
Slim, he's calling me Mary.
Oh, you see, Teddy, I told you to come on out and get another drink. Here, come on.
All right.
Only man around here appreciate it.
Come on, don't stop.
Fry is really blind. Okay. Look, Susie, I was kidding about the champagne. You're a good girl.
Yeah, she's a good girl, but how does she live?
Listen here, Sweetwater, I've got my own money.
Yeah, where does that come from?
None of your business. You told Malloy to lay off me, now you lay off.
It comes from the same place that kind of money always comes from. Quit kidding yourself.
I don't kid myself.
Well, it's your heart to kid yourself. This bill your old man stooges have got up in the legislature now. Myers and Murdoch trying to unload that Atlas Iron and Massey Mountain property in the state. Brother.
I don't know anything about that.
Well, I do. I've been on that mountain. You know, they took the iron out and blew the rock away and starved the folks to death. Left no ground to farm. Oh, I've been up there.
Hey, where's Slim? And where's that Fry?
Yeah, the two of them out in the kitchen swilling up all the liquor.
They can't do that to me. You two go ahead and argue. I'm going to rescue me a drink.
Don't you get it, kid? It's beautiful. Your old man handed the state over a little hunk of property for the Major Lemuel Murdoch Preserve. Now, Milam will sign this bill, and the state will pay hard money for the whole of Massey Mountain. Our good people will enjoy
this. I've seen you, you cheap little thief.
What the... Malloy, what's going on out there?
What's going on out there? I'll tell you what's going on out there. Fry passed out and good old Slim's out there going right through Fry's pockets, taking dough and stuff out.
Shut up, you, Malloy. Now, shut up.
You're a great boy, you are. You were his big pal, oh, yeah.
Shut up.
That's funny.
Stop.
Oh, that's funny.
What's funny about it?
You're a great man. You'll be as great a man as my father.
Yeah, a great guy.
Shut up, will you? Slim, make Malloy leave me alone. Slim, Malloy's calling me now.
I said shut up. Why, you cheap, dirty little...
Do you want to get me out of here?
Steady, kid. Come on, we'll get out.
Stand up, you. Stand up, I'll show you.
Come on. Down this way.
Let go. Let go of me. I can walk.
All right, walk.
Tell me. Will you tell me? I gotta know. Is there anything or anybody in this world that's clean?
Sometimes, if you're the type to find them. Come on, I'll take you home.
Go away, will you? Just go away. I don't want to see anybody, not anybody.
I said I'd take you home. Cheer up, kid. It was all in the cards.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a radio version of At Heaven's Gate by Robert Penn Warren. If you're interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now, our intermission commentator, Mr. Granville Hicks.
I am glad that the University Theater of the Air is dramatizing Robert Penn Warren's At Heaven's Gate. Because All the King's Men won a Pulitzer Prize, and because it has been made into a successful movie, it is by far the best known of Warren's books. It deserves to be, but that does not mean that his other books should be neglected. Warren not only had written two novels before he wrote All the King's Men, he had a considerable reputation as a poet and a critic. As early as 1938, Knight Rider demonstrated that he was a novelist of talent and originality. And At Heaven's Gate, published 5 years later, revealed astonishing versatility and a great depth of perception. It is indeed a first-rate novel, almost as good in every way as All the King's Men, and in some ways, perhaps, even better. It is easier to say that At Heaven's Gate is a good book and that you ought to read it than it is to describe the special qualities that give it its distinction. For one thing, it is an extraordinarily complicated novel. So far as it is the story of Sue Murdoch, it is a study in failure and betrayal. One can say, quite flatly, that Sue is betrayed by the three men with whom she falls in love, the root of the betrayal always being egotism, though it takes a different form with each of the men. It is equally true that she is betrayed by herself. Yet, if I read Warren correctly, the three men cannot escape the responsibility for their own inadequacies merely because of the basic inadequacy of Sue herself. The novel is also the story of Sue's father, Bogan Murdoch, a man who has used wealth as a means to political power and political power as a means to wealth. On this level, it is a shrewd and revealing analysis of business and government and their interrelations. But again, Warren is preoccupied with the theme of betrayal, and there is the closest connection between Murdoch's betrayal of his daughter and his betrayal of the people of the state. There is yet another theme, concerned with the experience of Ashby Possum Wyndham, a story within a story, told in the simple, ungrammatical, eloquent, and often poetic speech of this converted sinner from the Tennessee hills. Wyndham's statement, though it seems a separate story, has in the end a direct and dramatic connection with the story of the Murdochs, for it is his naive and sometimes fanatical integrity that brings about the final catastrophe. As on one level, this statement demonstrates the versatility of Warren's prose. On another, it underlines the human understanding and moral earnestness that make him one of our important novelists.
Thank you, Mr. Hicks. Our radio version of At Heaven's Gate will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
Sue, I'm home. Supper ready?
No, sweetie, I'm sorry. I'll get it right away.
Kid, you look like you've been hit.
Nothing. I got another letter from my father.
Oh, forget it, will you?
And he signed it Docky.
I said to forget it.
You know, I used to call him Docky a long time ago when I was little. And I leaned my head on his knee and
say, Darkie, Darkie.
All right, all right. All kids do that.
He was good to me.
Nuts. Everybody's good to kids if they've got spare time and plenty of dough. It don't prove a thing.
No, I reckon not.
Why don't you try forgetting something for a change?
I don't know what you're talking about, sweet.
Forget something for a change. Forget that Slim while you're at it.
I don't ever want to think of him again.
No? Well, I notice every time somebody who knows the guy comes over here, you get the conversation around to him in 5 minutes. Listen, are you stuck on that little snipe?
I'd like to kill him.
Then what do you keep talking about him for?
Oh, sweetie, I don't know. I'm just a mess. What makes me the way I am?
Oh, you're all right. You got a ways to go, but you're okay. All things considered, it's a wonder, too.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Today I got the word from your papa. I could be a good boy or else.
You saw him?
No, I was overwalking the picket line of the Freeman Foundries. Guy came up and said, could he buy me a beer? Guy I never saw before, so he bought me a beer. And told me he had some dough for me if I'd clear out of town. Just be a nice guy and clear out.
Sweetie, what did you say?
Nothing. When he got to the point, I had a mouthful of beer, so I just let him have it in the eye. They think they can buy anything.
Yes.
Well, it won't be dough your old man will offer me next time. It'll be a hunk of lead pipe on a dark night.
Oh, let him try. Just let him try, and I'll just go out.
Yeah,
and
you'll do nothing, and neither will he. He don't do nothing. He just creates a climate, you might say, in which certain vegetables find it mighty easy to grow.
Pass the salt, will you, Jerry?
Oh, yeah, sure, Doc, but here you are.
Jerry, can't you put the paper down for 5 minutes while you're eating?
Sorry, Doc, but what were you saying?
Nothing. But I might have been saying that when a vice president of a bank is seen in public studying the newspaper with a look of great concern in his manly face, people may think.
Duckfoot, it looks as though the Murdoch Park bill is going to pass.
Of course it's going to pass.
Duckfoot, that property is worth nothing.
I think, my boy, that you are just about right.
Right to quit. Here, read this.
Your resignation.
What is so uncomprehensible? It's written in English. All you gotta do is copy it out and sign your name, but copy it fast. I'm mailing it this afternoon to take effect tomorrow. I figure I'll have 24 hours jump on the sheriff.
Sheriff? Now, wait a minute, Duckfoot. The Massey Mountain property is no good, but...
Listen, Jerry. Murdoch's bleeding the Southern Fidelity white. There's enough phony deposit certificates floating around to make fuel for the 4th of July. And besides, those state deposits...
Those state deposits...
Hold it down, boy. Told you I wanted 24 hours on the sheriff.
I saw those bonds. The ones put up for the state deposit.
Sure you saw them. And I saw them, too. When? Last week. But somebody switched them. And, pal, I ain't going to be around when the roof falls.
Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to see Murdoch.
Write him a letter.
I'm going to see him right now.
Jerry boy, if you're really going over there, remember one thing. He will put his hand on your shoulder and smile the smile of the crucified Redeemer. But heed him not.
Yes, Jerry, there have been irregularities in the handling of the Southern Fidelity bonds held by the First National to secure the state deposits. I am sorry to say there have been.
Well?
Well, I've had a conference with the First National, and they are letting the man responsible go. When I find out who was responsible, my own organization, he will, of course, be dealt with.
The Myers and Murdoch collateral...
Jerry, you know finance. You know conditions are not stable. However, we are conducting a complete review of collateral and... Yes?
Excuse Excuse me, Mr. Murdoch, but your evening paper,
sir? Yes, yes. Just put it there, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Murdoch bill passed. I guess you're to be congratulated, Bogan.
Why, the scum! The scum! Those filthy rotten... There was a time... Hello. Hello, Ants. Get the evening paper. Yes, yes, the Standard. Get it. Don't let my father see it under any circumstances. Do you understand? Get it. The scum. I've stood there attached, but that old man... Excuse me, Jerry. I've got to leave. By heaven, there was a time a man could defend his honor.
Who is Major Lemuel Murdoch? He is the man who on April 4th, 1892, willfully shot and killed Judge Goodpasture, a political opponent who in the heat of a campaign uttered certain remarks which offended the vanity of Major Murdoch. Major Murdoch was tried and convicted. The conviction was reversed. What was the defense offered by Major Lemuel Murdoch? That he shot to protect his honor. What is honor? Conceptions differ. What is Mr. Bogan Murdoch's conception of honor?
What is Mr. Bogan Murdoch's conception of honor? And what is Mr. Jerry Calhoun's? Captain?
Are you going to town?
Why, I am aiming to, Captain.
Drive on.
Get up there. Come on, get up there. It'll be by night before I get there, sir, Captain.
I'm Major Murdoch. Major Lemuel Murdoch.
Yes, sir, Major.
You see this paper?
I don't read none, Major.
Major Murdoch. I'm Major Lemuel Murdoch. I was at Essex. In front of the courthouse. At Essex.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to stop in town. How are you going to get in from there?
He said.
How are you going to get in, Major?
The band was playing. And I shot him.
Good Lord, Major. You shot who?
Judge Goodpasture. Blackguard. I'm Blackguard. I tell you.
Let go of me. Blackguard. Let go of me. I ain't going to listen.
Blackguard. I am Blackguard.
Major, put that gun away, Major.
Tell him. Shoot him like a dog.
No, Major. Don't you do that.
Major Lemuel Murdoch. Major Murdoch. And
Major Lemuel. Major Lemuel, please.
Scoundrel.
Please put that gun away. You ain't want to shoot nobody. Nobody, please.
I'm Major Murdoch. And he said...
Oh, Lord. Angel, protect me. Get up there. Come on, get up there. There, get up. Come on. Get up.
Jerry. Look who we got here.
Hello, Ham.
Bogan sicked him on me. To take me back into the fold.
Listen, Blake, you think you're so all fired...
Oh, now what? Well, well. If it isn't President Porsom.
Porsom, Blake's quitting.
Nah, Duckfoot, you're not quitting. Not after all Bogan's done.
Not after all he's done, Private.
Oh, I know what he's done for you, Private. He made you rich. But you paid him, Private. You broke the Massey Mountain strike with your silver tongue. You don't owe Bogan a thing.
My father made you, you scum.
Pal, nobody made me. I was found under a cabbage leaf. Private,
I leave the jaws of the Bastille to yawn for you.
Look here, Duckfoot, what do you mean?
I mean my little soldier is helping Bogan to dump Massey Mountain on the state. I mean the collateral on the state's deposits has been switched. I mean the paper on Murdoch's loans ain't worth a hoot,
and you ought to know it.
Why, you... I'll kill
Leave
you.
Leave him alone, Ham. Leave him alone.
Let loose of me, Calhoun. Let loose of me.
Mr. Ham Murdoch. Still upholding the honor of the family, eh?
Duckfoot, wait. Jerry, any of this true?
Stick around, Private. You'll find out. And, Hammy boy, keep your fingers out of the till. Me? I'm leaving. Well, Jerry, old pal, you coming along?
This is going to be a long fight. After we win the strike, there'll still be plenty of work to do. I know every man here is going to stick with it and see this thing through. Well, that's all. The meeting's adjourned.
Come on, Sue. I'm tired. Let's go home. Come on out this way.
You know, it was a good meeting.
Yeah. Organization's pretty good now. These foundry boys have had it tough. They've had to think things out.
Sweetie, what do they think of me being there?
Well, you're Bogan Murdoch's daughter, but they're getting used to the idea that you can still be human.
You know, sweetie, I never saw anything like this before. Like these men, I mean. They all want something, really want something.
Yeah, you bet your sweet life they want something. They want 3 squares and the rent.
Well, that's enough to want, and I want to see them get it. I want to help them.
Well, you're helping. Maybe too much.
Why?
I don't want you to come down to the picket line again.
But I want to.
Listen, they play for keeps. You're going to get shoved around.
Oh, I don't care. I want to do something. Really do something.
Well, I don't want you to get hurt.
Paper, evening paper. Paper, mister?
Yeah, here. Well, hey, look at this. Somebody must have spotted you. Here's your picture.
Me?
Financier's daughter at picket line. Miss Sue Murdoch. Daughter.
Oh, let me see. Oh, sweetie, I look terrible.
Baby, to me, you look wonderful. Mr. Bogan Murdoch sure wouldn't know his little Susie now.
Well, Private, I'm glad you dropped by. Have a seat.
No thanks, Bogan.
I tried to get you this morning, Private. I want to talk to you.
I reckon not. I just come by to show you this.
Hmm? What is it?
Read it, Bogan.
I, Milt Porsom, have used my influence to bring about the purchase by this state, acted in full awareness of the true value. I cannot undo the evil which I have done. Porsom. What are you up to?
It'll be in the Evening Standard.
Call him up. Call him right now. Tell him you want it back. Here. I'll call. Tell him you repudiate it. Tell him you sue.
I gave them a signed copy.
You've got to keep your mouth shut. You owe it to the people of this state.
I reckon a man owes himself something, Bolton.
You owe it to yourself not to be a fool. You're president of a bank.
I was. I ain't now.
You think you can quit? You've got responsibilities. Responsibilities, do you hear?
I had them. But I reckon I didn't do so good by them.
Not a thing went on that wasn't legal. Not a thing, Private.
Bogan, I'm going down this afternoon to make a statement.
All right, Private. All right. Go and make your statement. And shall I tell you what will happen? You will go to jail.
I reckoned I would.
Not if you don't act like a fool. Not if you stick with the bank. Not if you call that newspaper. Call them now.
No, I reckon not. I'm going down now, Bogan, and make that statement. I reckon you might call it a confession.
Ah, they all make me sick.
What are you you talking about?
The guys at the foundry. They're all celebrating. They all think they'll win one strike. They'll be sitting on their tails lighting two bits of cigars with $5 bills. They don't know a thing.
Come in. Oh.
Well, if it ain't...
Slim.
Cyril, I want to talk to you.
Well, I don't want to talk to you. I don't ever want to see you again.
I want to talk to you alone.
Get out.
It's very important.
Get out.
No.
You heard what the lady said.
I want to talk to you, Sue.
All right, I reckon I'll have to throw you out.
I'll kill you.
Stop, sweetie. Sweetie, stop.
You shut up.
Sweetie, he's a boxer. He'll hurt you.
Are you going to get out?
No.
All right, then.
Oh, sweetie, stop. Please. Oh, please, sweetie, stop.
Get up. Get up or I'll kick your tail off.
I said get up.
Now get up. Get out.
I'll kill you, Sweetwater. I'll kill you.
Out. That's that.
Oh, yes. That's that. And Sweetwater is wonderful. Sweetwater is sublime. Sweetwater throws people out. He throws people out every Sunday morning. Oh, behold him. He is grand. He is marvelous. He will defend me. He will cherish me. He will love me.
Will you shut up?
Oh, behold him. The marvel. The patrician. The paragon. The dilly. Oh, behold.
Sue, my darling, I'm here. I'm here beside you.
Go away.
My darling, oh, my beautiful darling, forgive me. I had to come. I had to see you.
Go away.
Lie still, my darling.
You had to sneak back. He threw you out and you had to sneak back.
Sue, please. Oh, please, Sue, don't laugh. Please, shut up. Please.
Slim, Sarah. Slim, the sneak.
Sue.
Slim, the sneak.
Now, don't laugh. Sue, don't laugh.
Stop it. Stop it. You're choking me. Stop it.
Don't laugh. Don't laugh at me. You hear I have to. Just stop. And you shouldn't get at me. You shouldn't laugh at me. You shouldn't laugh at me! Suspicion has been directed to Anse Winters, a servant in the family of the murdered girl, in whose education the family has assisted. It had been planned to send him to Columbia University last year, but the execution of the plan was postponed. It has suggested that disappointment and revenge may have been the motive of the crime. Well, yes. Oh, that's fine. Why, yes. That's just fine.
They just put us in decent mahogany in here and lay out the cigars, you and me and the private could have a bank meeting.
What did you come here for, Duckfoot?
To gloat, Jerry, pal. To gloat. What did you think?
Oh.
You make me sick. They throw you in the can and you sit here and mope for 6 hours and don't get bail. Didn't you ever hear of habeas corpus?
Shut up.
Oh, shut up. And await the arrival of my good friend, that well-known shyster and bail broker, McGivy, whom I have summoned to your deliverance.
I don't want him.
You don't have to stay here. Sweetwater got out.
The private could get out, but he don't want to. He's a hero. And Anne's can't get out. They won't let him. But you can get out.
Duckford. Duckford, did Anne's kill her?
She's dead. Don't matter who killed her. I don't think it was Anne's, but it'll be Anne's gets hung.
Duckford.
And...
who killed Sue?
He may very well get hung tonight. There's too many people outside. I don't like it.
She's dead.
Sure she's dead. Now stop feeling sorry for yourself. Hey, things are going to get started. Correction, things have already started. Oh, where's that McGinty? Somebody's coming. Maybe this is him.
Hey, Mr. Blake. Mr. McGinty telephoned.
Yeah? Why ain't he here?
Said to tell you he can't come tonight. Got a toothache.
Scared. Scared to come. That yellow little... Hey, what's going on outside?
Folks is just a little bit excited.
Excited, huh? Well, you sure picked a night to go to jail. I can't make out what they're yelling. Oh, them guards shooting over their heads. Why don't they hit a couple of them in the guts?
Get him out! Get him out!
Why don't they come on in and get it over? Why don't they do it if they're going to do it? Oh, I'll murder that McGinty.
It doesn't matter.
Everything matters, everything. It matters Corson is in here. It matters you're a fool, a thumb-sucking, self-pitying fool. It matters that rat Murdoch is enjoying his bereavement and comfort. It matters Sue is dead.
That poor, pretty little blonde.
Sit down. It matters Anne's is in here, and they're going to hang him, those poor, murdering, miserable bloody apes. It matters. It's all worth $1 million. $1 million to Bogan Murdoch. His daughter's dead. Public sympathy. They'll never touch him. They won't even get an indictment.
Oh, if they could get him. If I could just see Bogan Murdoch here.
Do you want him here? Son, they can't put him in jail. And you know why? Because he ain't real. He ain't real. He's a dream, a great, big, wonderful dream. And you can't put a dream in jail.
There isn't any more noise.
He's a great man, but he's not real. They're never real.
There isn't any more noise.
What? Something's happened. Let me see. Get out of the way.
Just a handful of cops. The crowd's all leaving.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Wait. Here comes the guard. Hey, you! What the devil's happened?
I can't stop. Gotta get a stretcher. The private's been hurt.
The private?
Private Porson. Went out to speak to the crowd and accidentally got hit with a brick. He's bleeding. I gotta get a stretcher, I tell you.
So, they gotta look at a little blood and now everybody goes peacefully home. Look at them out there. The poor apes. They didn't even want to hang ends. Well, come on. We'll see if there's such a thing as a habeas corpus in this town.
What do you think's the real dope on this thing, Joe?
Well, how would I know? Whatever it is, you can bet we won't get it from Murdoch.
Well, why don't Murdoch let us in? I got an evening edition to make.
And I don't, I suppose. Relax, he'll let us in soon. He's got some pal with the dead girls in there now.
Yeah. It's tough, you know, having all to bother the guy. Imagine how he must feel.
Forgive me, Mr. Murdoch. I shouldn't break down like this.
It's all right, Slim, my boy. I understand.
But in the face of your sorrow, Mr. Murdoch...
Let no man belittle another's bereavement, Slim. I'm sure each of us would give his life to restore hers.
Mr. Murdoch, before I go away, I came to ask if there isn't some little thing of Sue's I could have. Some little memento.
I appreciate your feeling, my boy. I'm sure Mrs. Murdoch will give you something. Are you leaving town?
Well, I thought I'd go to New York. There's nothing for me to stay here for now.
I wish you the best of luck, Slim, and I hope you find happiness.
Happiness? For me, there is no more happiness.
If you will forgive me, the reporters are waiting outside. It's... It's very hard, but it seems I must speak to them on some financial matters.
Oh, Mr. Murdoch, it's such a time.
I can bear it, my boy. It will all be over soon.
Gentlemen!
We don't want to trouble you, Mr. Murdoch. Just a very brief interview and then a few pictures, if you don't mind.
Not at all. You gentlemen of the press have asked me for a statement. You've asked me for a statement regarding the failure of the firm of Myers and Murdoch, of which I have the honor to be president. I have only this to say. I say that I am completely responsible. Responsible because I followed too faithfully my larger vision and trusted too much in friends and subordinates in whom I thought I had found loyalty. But now, under these circumstances, I have found, gentlemen, a loyalty which I never suspected to exist. In my friends, in my family, my father and my dear wife and son, who have stood staunchly by me in our common bereavement. And so, gentlemen, in the confidence born of that loyalty, I look to the future. Courage. My father, as you all know, had courage. Courage! It is the heritage of all of us, of all citizens of this state. Courage. That is all I have to say.
You have been listening to At Heaven's Gate, an NBC theater production of the novel by Robert Penn Warren. The novel, incidentally, is currently available in a Signet reprint. If you wish to increase your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC Theater. For full information, write to NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky; University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas; Washington State College, Pullman, Washington; the University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona; Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas; or Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. You also have a chance to win a set of the famous Encyclopedia Britannica. Several of the colleges and universities offering these courses are offering the Encyclopedia as prizes to the students doing the best work. Enroll in a supervised course and you may be one of the fortunate ones to win the Encyclopedia Britannica. Be with us at the NBC Theater next week for two stories by Catherine Ann Porter, Pale Horse, Pale Rider, and The Flowering Judas. And the following week for an exciting dramatization of Walter Van Tilburg Clark's new novel, The Track of the Cat. At Heaven's Gate was adapted for the NBC Theater by Clarice A. Ross. Our intermission commentator recorded was Mr. Granville Hicks. In today's cast were Ted Von Els as Bogan, Clark Gordon was Slim, Glenn Denning, Ham, Vivi Janis, Sue, Tom Charlesworth was Jerry, Stephen Chase, Governor Milam, Paul Freeze was Private Parson, Earl Lee, Major Murdoch, Frank Gerstel was Blake, Betty Niglas, the girl, Jeff Corey was Sweetwater, and Felix Nelson, the old man. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Theater Guild on the Air presents The Willow and I, a psychological melodrama of the love of two sisters, Jane Wyman and Beatrice Pearson, for one man, Mel Ferrer. Today's Sam Spade adventure begins with the theft of 40 bottles of hair dye. Hear both these great shows, Theater Guild and Sam Spade, later today on NBC. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.